Well, we need the Lord to help us this morning, and we would like for Him to feed our souls and to teach us. I was thinking about a song that we've all heard, most of us, and I've been so challenged by this song, but it says, the title of it is, He Didn't Come Down. Just want to read the verses of it and try to grasp what the songwriter saw that might be a blessing to us today. But it says, often I stop to think just where I'd be had Jesus come down from that cruel tree. There'd be no hope for man, no peace to be found. Thank God, I'm glad that He didn't come down. The chorus says, He didn't come down. Oh no, He didn't come down. 10,000 angels were camped all around. He could have called them to set Him free, but He stayed on the cross for you and for me. Picture His mother there with tears in her eyes as they mocked and scorned Him and pierced His side. They said, if thou be king, then come to the ground. But He prayed, forgive them. And He didn't come down. And I was meditating on that and thinking, why that was so important? Why was that so important that He didn't come down? And what was the mission? And what important thing is it to you and me that He came and endured that, and He stayed on that tree, and He expired on that, and He shed His blood there, and He suffered before He went there, and He endured grief, and He endured all the things that murderers and robbers and all of those things, He endured all of those things, and He didn't do any of them. And it was just for you and me. He did all of that. And so I want us to think a little bit this morning about the gospel message. I believe the Lord has a little bit for us this morning. We've all heard about John 3:16. Can you quote it this morning? Probably most of us here can. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Isn't that a blessed reading this morning? You know, the Lord didn't come to condemn the world. There will be a time of judgment, there will be, and He'll be the judge. But that's not what He came to the world for. And that's not what He's still crying out with this morning. His word is to you and me that I didn't come to condemn you. I came to save you. I came because you need a Savior. I came because we all need a Savior this morning. We need the Lord, don't we? And so I want us to think a little bit about the greatness of the need. We know the scripture says over in Matthew 26, it says, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be? I was thinking about our fruit trees. We go to camp meetings almost every June, and while we're gone, our fruit trees, our peach trees, they get ripe, and so we get part of the fruit, but not all of it. But you know, I was thinking about we have a problem in the fruit trees. If we don't take care of the problem, then every year, it seems, we find that when we pick those pretty peaches, there's a little hole in them. And down inside is a worm. And if we leave it long enough, that worm will completely destroy that peach, where there won't be anything left. And so I've begun this year to try to pick them as soon as possible, because we don't like to spray them any more than we have to with pesticides, inorganic pesticides. And so, you know, there's a problem. And we can look at the tree in the spring, and it's a nice tree. The trees are nice. They're beautiful. They bloom out with blossoms all over them. And if it doesn't freeze, we have a pretty nice crop of peaches every year. And we've got a decent crop this year. But, you know, there's just a problem that we know exists. Now, I could look at the tree. I can look at the leaves. They all look good. I can look at the fruit from a distance. It all looks good. But I'll tell you, there's something there that is just there. It's just there. And so I want us to think about this morning that, folks, there is something inherent within people, all of us, when we're born, that it's just there, folks. If we don't get something done about it, it's going to ruin our life. There's an old nature that we inherited from Adam. It's a nature that will lead us into sin. And the Bible clearly says that every man has sinned. And so we know that that will and does lead us into sin. Now we can look at the man and we can say, it's a good man or woman. It's a good boy or girl. It's pretty good. But I want to tell you something this morning. There's something that has to be taken care of today. There's something that the Lord, only the Lord can take care of. We will find that this little seed of sin, it will grow. We will find that this thing will grow and it will consume our fruit. And so people try in their best efforts, and I don't fault them. If they don't know about the Lord, what else do they have? And so they try to be good. And they begin to try, I'm going to be a good person. But do you know that before long it slays them? And before long, they find themselves, Lord have mercy, how did I find myself here? How did I find myself in this situation? How do I find myself in sin, and yet I want it to be good? Do you know that that's the way it is, though? I can't say about the peach trees, I can't talk myself out of it or anything else. It's the way it is. And so when we see people and when we see ourselves, folks, we have to realize that we need a Savior real bad. We need one that is able to clean us up and to take that thing out of us and to change our hearts and our lives and to give us power to live a holy and godly life. We heard about it in Sunday school this morning, about being holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, not ours. Is that just a scripture that's there, or is it really possible? I just want to work with a little bit this morning that it is not within man. I want to read that scripture in a minute. But folks, it's not within man that walketh to direct his own steps. That is Jeremiah 10 and 23. I want to read that, Jeremiah 10 and 23. It says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Now, I know this sounds pretty basic this morning, folks, but I will tell you, the whole world is set to believe something else. Much of the world don't believe this. They believe it is in man. They believe that man is able to attain to all these great places. But you know what we find out? We find that there's something inside that corrupts them. Anyway, we find that why are we so disappointed when we see people in high places? Because somehow we expect people to be better than that. But folks, without the Lord, we are going to find ourselves in a place that we don't want. And I know that as young folks, we grow up now. Our young folks grow up in a world that is full of humanism. It's full of all kinds of religious ideas and beliefs. People worship all kinds of things. But folks, that won't fix the problem. That won't take the worm out. And so there's only one thing that will, and that is the grace of God. I want to encourage us today to recognize that there is something inherent in man that he is born with that has to be taken care of today. And so as we begin to look, and I'm not really just going to spend all my time on that this morning, but I just want us to take into our hearts and minds that we need the Lord. We need full salvation if we're going to be able to see the Lord's face in peace. I know that there are many things. There are many things that we as people we face. Many temptations. There are many sins out there. Young folks, we are not good in ourselves. Okay, we need to recognize that. We need to buy into that. I have something that's going to cause me trouble, and I've got to get it taken care of. Do you know that the reason people are so disillusioned in life many times, they go out and they don't have any idea how they got where they are. What happened? Well, I will tell you what happened. The Lord provided a Savior so that that wouldn't happen. He provided a Savior so that that can be taken out before our fruit is all gone. Many people get on down in life and they find themselves trapped in all kinds of vices. And you find it every day on the streets. You find vices of every kind. All kinds of things people are trapped by. And they want free. And so they make resolutions. And they go on strict regimens. And they do all of these things. And sometimes they'll come into these types of meditations and all those things. Do you know that that is not going to fix the problem? The worm has to be taken out. And so this morning, I just want to talk about full salvation and the things that God has for us. I want to look at Mark, the 7th chapter. Now, we may go out on our own thinking that we're going to be a good person. But I've got bad news for you today. I've got good news. There's a fix for it. The bad news is that if we go out on our own, or we go out worshiping false gods or false religion, do you know that we're not going to find the help that we need in those areas? And so we see here in Matthew or Mark 7 and 15, it says here, "There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man." Do you know this morning, it's talking about something being in here. And so instead of us making our best effort, let's give it to God. Let's fall down at his feet and worship him and let him work with us. If any man have ears to hear, Jesus said, let him hear. Let him hear what I'm saying. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, "Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but goeth into the belly and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And they were all hung up on the meats they could eat and not eat and all of those things. And Jesus was trying to bring something totally new to them. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men. And I want to encourage us to realize, no, our heart may not have all these things in it right now. But we have the seed if it's not taken out. And we will find that seed bringing forth fruit. He says here, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, loose living, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. That's the worm that eats away, isn't it? That's the little thing inside, sin, that wants to eat away at our life and eat up the fruit of our life. And we want there to be fruit, don't we? We all do. Well, I will tell you this morning that from within is where it comes from. And if we don't recognize that worm within, then we'll sadly find our fruit all gone, not having done anything about it in time. And so this morning I just want to challenge us that the Lord did not come to condemn us for those things. He came that we might be saved. Folks, that we might be saved from ourselves, from our own ideas of things, from our own ways. He came that we might be saved and that we might meet the Father in peace, unreprovable in His sight. Now that's pretty amazing, isn't it? Anybody in the world will tell you immediately, we'll never be anything in God's sight. I want to tell you something. The Scripture tells us that we're going to have to be holy and unreprovable in His sight to meet Him in peace. So this morning, that way is through the cross of Jesus Christ. It's when we come to Him, we lay down our way, we repent of our way, we take up His way, and then we follow Him in full salvation. We follow Him through baptism. He tells us we must do that. We follow Him through into sanctification. That is a place where we humble ourselves before God. We give ourselves fully to Him, and then it is His part to come in and cleanse us and fill us with His power, with His Spirit. That's the work of His Spirit. I want to read to us this morning in Matthew 11 and think about this a little bit. I know some of you were in West Virginia, and I mentioned this scripture out there. But I think about the value. Folks, if we're going to meet the Lord in peace, we're going to have to follow Him. We're going to have to allow Him to work in our life. He came and died for that, and He loved us. And in John 13, it says He loved them until the end, those disciples of His. And then He laid His life down, not for them totally, but for us too. For everybody that was ungodly. He said He didn't even come for the righteous. He came for the sinner. And so that's what the Lord came for. He came for you and me. And I want to talk a little bit about the whole plan. You know, the Lord wants us to come to Him and be saved and be sanctified, be baptized. But I want to talk a little bit this morning about walking with the Lord too. It says here in Matthew 11 and 28, come unto me. Now Jesus' heart was full of compassion when He said this. And He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you know what kind of labor and heavy laden he's talking about here? The works of the flesh, the works of sin, the works of idolatry, the works of the world in our hearts, the things that separate us from God. He said, those are heavy things, aren't they? I think about the ones that work in the jail and tell us regularly of the people they meet and the things that they say and the sad stories that they tell constantly. And you realize what a heavy weight it is upon their life. You see them in a yoke with this thing. This scripture goes on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I want us to think a little bit this morning about what a yoke is. A yoke is generally a piece of wood. In this country, in all the countries of the world, I suppose, at one time, where they plowed with oxen and those kind of things, they had a big piece of wood that went over, and it went over the neck of one, and then it went over the neck of the other, and they pulled together. And when they put a young one in there or a new one, he wasn't used to that yoke. And they would be pulling their way trying to go their way, trying to stop or trying to go faster or whatever. And the one that was used to it, maybe bigger, maybe stronger, older, more, and he would just plod away. And finally, that young one, he'd get in the harness and he would plod away too. Jesus well knew what that was like. And so he said, take my yoke upon you. Folks, I want us to recognize this morning that we are yoked with something. We are yoked with self. We are yoked with sin. Or we are yoked with the Lord. And we can't be yoked with both. This morning, I hope that we can recognize that Jesus said, here again, he wasn't trying to condemn. He wasn't trying to throw anything. He was just trying to help us get there. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll tell you, I've known a lot of people in my life that were laboring and heavy laden with all kinds of things they didn't need. All kinds of heavy weights. Weights of unforgiveness. Weights of bitterness. Weights of things that kept them from ever getting off the ground, ever flying high. Not possible. Weights. And Jesus said, you come unto me, all of you that are heavy laden, that labor, and I will give you rest. Now, I know a lot of you all are, there is a lot of this congregation young here this morning. You haven't been down the path far enough yet to know how heavy the weights of life are upon people in sin. But I want to tell you this morning, it gets pretty heavy. And maybe some of you have already gone far enough to recognize how heavy the weights can be. I want to have you good news this morning. There's good news. Jesus said, come unto me. He said, learn of me. You know, the Lord wants us to learn of him. He said, take my yoke upon you. Go where I go. Do the things I do. Follow me where I am. Bear the yoke with me. And he said, I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest for your souls. Now Jesus was telling us something really amazing here this morning. That his yoke would produce rest for your soul. Now, I want to tell you about Jesus. He went and he bore stripes. They spit in his face. They put a crown of thorns on him. They made him labor heavy under the cross. Was that restful? No, it wasn't. Jesus didn't say that the rest of soul was the same as the rest of the body. Folks, there's people that have no problems at all in this life. But there's no rest for their soul. And then there's people that are plagued with many things, but they have rest in their soul. And Jesus said this morning, if you'll come unto me, I'll give you rest for your soul. Yoke up with me and take my ways. Learn of me. Learn my paths. Yes, I know for a bit you may pull and struggle. You know, this is what I've learned to do, and this is how I always have done it. It's a hard way, isn't it? The flesh is a hard way. It has a lot of thorns to it. It has a lot of troubles in it. And we find all the time, when we take our own way, don't we find that we're always disappointed? Don't we find, oh Lord, help me to humble myself to your cross, to do it your way, to take your thoughts, to hook up with you, to go the places you go, to listen to the things you would listen to treat people the way you treat people. Help me to forgive people like you forgave. You know what he did? He prayed for them while they were crucifying him. Father, forgive them. Lay not this sin to their charge. You know, that was on his mind instead of that bitter weight. That bitter weight of I've got to get back. Jesus wasn't bearing that. His soul was in rest at that very time. And so we want this morning to just look to the Lord. Lord, I want to take your yoke upon me, because I know that that's where I will find rest to my soul. And he went on to say something even more profound. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now I want to ask you something. How does the devil snicker people into believing that his yoke is easy and his yoke is light and the Lord's yoke is hard? How does the devil snicker people into that? I'll tell you a good example of it. There was one named Eve. And she lived in a garden of Eden. And everything was perfect. It was beautiful. It was nice. It was heavenly. God came down and talked to her. But there was one thing she couldn't do. And she got her mind on that. And she saw that. And it looked good. And you know what? It tasted good. When she tasted it, it tasted good. But the problem was that there was something that happened in here. And her life fell apart from that, didn't it? One of her sons killed the other one. She fell into sin. And it slew her, didn't it? You know, this morning, that's the way the devil works. He came to Eve and he said, hath God said? And you know, she told him what the Lord said. And he said, you won't surely die. You won't surely die. I can hear the scorn. I can see the smirk. You won't surely die. Folks, I want to tell us this morning, we will do well to follow the Lord and yoke up with him. She died. She's been dead a long time. She died spiritually. She lost all the good things she had. And I want to encourage us that maybe especially, all of us, but especially those that haven't been down the road far enough to see where the worm eats the fruit, to where it's all gone or it's all half gone and it seems no hope for it. I want to tell you, the Lord didn't come to condemn you. He didn't come to do that. He came that we might be saved. And he came to bring life to you and me. He came that our life might have meaning. That our life might in fact be satisfying. Might even have purpose. You know what? The Lord came for those things, didn't he? And we're letting the devil snooker us and make us believe it surely isn't so. Let's don't listen to him this morning. I choose to believe the Lord. And I've been in the way long enough to know what Jesus said is true. He said, you'll find rest to your souls. I want to look at John, 1 John 2. And I want to encourage us this morning that we turn from the world to the Lord with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and strength. When I see somebody get saved, I will tell you, I rejoice. But I rejoice a little bit hesitatingly. And I'll tell you why. Because I want to see that soul give themselves to the Lord with no reserves. Lord, I want my life to be yours. I want you to have your way in my life. Do we believe it that way? Do we believe that it's worthwhile, young folks, to cast ourselves upon the Lord and that He will take our life and make something good out of it? I believe it. And as many as believed were saved, folks. We can believe the Lord. We can trust in Him. Give ourselves to Him. Don't take our own way. Yoke up with Him. Read His words. Understand what it says. Don't let ourselves pull out of that yoke. He'll let us out if we want out. Don't let ourselves out of that yoke. Lord, I'm going to yoke up with You. I'm going to leave the world and I'm going to give myself to Your cause. I want You to have the best years of my life. We can do that this morning. And I've never been sorry of it. I know the devil tells you otherwise. I know he told me the same thing. You're given the best years of your life and then it's going to be too late to do it. What a lie. I'm so thankful I didn't buy into that. I can look at all those around my age that did. And I don't know a single one that I would even consider a trade. Do you know this morning, the Lord has good things in mind for you. He says in His Word, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Do we know this morning that that's what God has toward us? And if we trample on past that and go on, it's going to be because we went over all that He tried. Tried His best to stop us. Tried His best to give us the best. And we go on. And that worm begins to eat. And that worm, that nature begins to, that place where Satan has a little seat to work, begins to work in us. I want to tell you this morning, there's something better than that. Just want to encourage us to leave the world. Leave it behind completely. Don't hold any strings to it and don't leave any bridges back. Blow them up and cut the lines to the world. Don't go a little bit and hold on to a line. It'll never work for you. But when you really cut the lines, when you really blow up the bridges, and you take the Lord's way all the way, it works, folks. In 1 John 2 and 15, John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, sometimes we get hung up right there, but I love the things. I will tell you this morning, will you believe the Lord? Will you leave those things behind? Will you follow Him all the way, giving Him everything, taking your hands off? That's what the Lord wants you to do. That's His yoke that's easy. That's the place that He begins to bless. That's where He begins to give purpose. That's where your life begins to have meaning. That's where your life begins to help other people. Something so satisfying to ourselves this morning. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know what this is saying? I'll translate it. If any man is yoked with the world, he's not yoked with the Lord. Do you know this morning the Lord tells us to clearly leave the world behind? Clearly cut our ties with the world? And so He says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, all those things that pull at us, do they not? Do they not tempt us? Did not Satan tempt Eve in the garden? Oh, but look over here. And do you think he won't tempt you and me? Did he tempt Jesus? Yes, he did. And he's going to tempt you and me. Folks, we need to arm ourselves and be ready for that. Eve seems like she was kind of taken by surprise. Even though she knew what God said, she hadn't seen anybody take that way before, but you and I have. We've got an advantage on Eve in that way. And so he says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, I encourage us to yoke with the Lord and leave those things behind before the worm eats your fruit, before the worm eats your life up. Leave those things. I just want to encourage us this morning, leave them behind and yoke up with the Lord. Put your neck in His harness and say, Lord, where You go, I will go. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Do you know that those things call at us? And we have to cut those. We have to put those in its place. We have to resist those things. Not allow them to take that place in our life again. And so he says, but is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, I just have a little more here maybe, but folks, I just want to encourage us this morning. If you want to abide forever, then settle it in your hearts. Yoke up with the Lord. Cut your ties. Do what you have to. Humble our hearts before Him. Lord, I need You today. I need You to change me. I need You to give me what You want me to have. I want to read the scripture I've been quoting through this time this morning. Colossians 1 and 21. Listen to this. And you... you that were sometime alienated and enemies. Is that talking about you this morning? Is that talking about anybody here? You that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. And yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death. There's only one thing that could make that great a change. There's only one thing that could pay that great a price. And that is the blood of Jesus. And it says here, in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Now, folks, we can just feel like I can never attain to anything. I urge you to just yoke up with the Lord. Just yoke up with Him. In the mornings, you know what He's going to be doing? You know what he was doing? He was calling out to God, wasn't he? Yoke up with Him. Call out to the Lord in the mornings. Call out to the Lord in the evenings. Take some time to read His Word. Find His will in our life. You want purpose? You want some good things? Tasty fruit? Stuff that tastes good? Stuff that is enjoyable? Stuff that gives strength and vitality to your life? Yoke up with the Lord. Let him give you some of that fruit this morning. And he says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. You know, the Lord told Paul when he struck him down, I believe it was there, was it not, that he said, I'm going to send you, to the Gentiles, and to turn them from darkness to light. I'm not going to look back there, but we find those scriptures so enlightening, such a blessing. Paul, I have something totally different for you. I want you to take people's lives that have been ravished by sin, and I want you to take them the gospel. The light that makes people's lives right. The light that makes people able to meet me in peace. I just want to encourage us this morning that we take the yoke of the Lord upon us, that we allow Him those places in our life, that we take our hands off completely and put His yoke upon our neck and we go where He goes. We do what He says. We listen to what He would listen to. We watch what He would watch. We do the things He would do. Folks, I want to tell you this morning, the Lord wants to put His yoke upon our life. And He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's very unlike the yoke of the world and the yoke of sin this morning. And it'll bring rest to your soul. It'll bring joy to your home. That's what it'll do. It'll bring peace in your relationships. That's what it will do. Who wouldn't want that? It'll bring many, many good things this morning. I thought of the song. It says, salvation's free. Glad joy to all of Adam's fallen race. We'll tell to all, both far and near, of saving, keeping grace. I'm so thankful for that this morning. I'm so thankful. Folks, the world has a washed out gospel that says you have to sin more or less here or there every day or so. It's not so. Let's yoke up with the Lord. Let's let Him change something on the inside and give us a new birth, a new spirit, the Holy Spirit. Y'all pray for me this morning.